Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History of Early Pro Teams, we're going old school, once again talking about teams before World War II, and we discuss the legendary accomplishments and contributions of Ernie Nevers and the Duluth Eskimos, and it's all coming up for you in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. You know, it's hard for us to fathom in today's billion-dollar juggernaut of the NFL to have a franchise that had very few home games. Always a road team, and the home fans hardly ever catching a glimpse of their gridiron heroes. Well, imagine that for a moment. Just take a second. Well, it happened in early football in a few instances, but none may be more famous than that of the Duluth Eskimos franchise. Inspired by a 2015 Professional Football Research Association article written by Michael Moran in the organization's Coffin Corner magazine, may I present the story of the pro football team from Duluth, Minnesota? Yes, the origins of the Duluth pro football come like this. You know, the story of the franchise starts just after the American Professional Football Association, the APFA, changed their name to the National Football League. Two young football enthusiasts, Dewey Scanlon and M.C. Gebert, decided to put together a team of professionals to play in the town of Duluth, Minnesota. Scanlon was a former collegiate player from Valparaiso University in Indiana. His buddy Gebert was the owner of the popular Kelly Duluth hardware store in town. Now, Gebert felt it would be great business if his store sponsored a team, so in an effort to get the store brand name out there to the public, the team was initially founded as the Kelly Duluths. That was their official name anyway when they joined the NFL in 1923. But the public rebranded the squad in the normal sequence of, you know, the city first and called them the Duluth Kellys. That's probably more popular how we know them by today. Well, the Kellys unfortunately had bad weather to contend with, so their seasons were greatly shortened. They are the northernmost franchise ever in the National Football League's history. And in their inaugural year, the team's record was 4-3, ranking them 7th place in the NFL, playing 3 games at home. In 1924, the team fared much better as they posted a 5-1 record, 4th place finish, and put their skills on display for the home crowd twice. One was a 6-3 victory over the visiting Green Bay Packers. The 1925 season, though, was a disappointing 0-3 slate, falling twice at home. Now, Gebert was not willing to suffer any more financial woe. He pulled his sponsorship of the club. The ownership now was in question, and it fell back to the league. Well, one man stepped up, though, to save the day, a sports promoter from Wisconsin named Olaf Hogsgrud, or Ole for short. And he bought the struggling Duluth Kellys from the National Football League for the sum of $1. Can you imagine that? What an investment that is. You got a tidy sum of $1 to own your own NFL franchise. Who wouldn't stand in line for that? Now, Hogsgrud had some good knowledge on how to run the sports organization, plus he also had some great football connections. And we'll come back and tell you about some of those connections and what Hogsgrud did with the team in just a moment.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.
Yeah, thanks again to Ross Bliley for recording that great promo for our Sports Jersey Dispatch brand podcast and our website, jerseydispatch.com. So hopefully you'll get a chance to check that out too. Now let's get back to our story. Olaf Hosgrud embraced the cold weather tradition of Duluth, Minnesota, and aptly rebranded his new club as the Duluth Eskimos. The logo was appropriately an igloo to reinforce the cold weather mantra of the club. We said Hosgrud had connections. Well, how about perhaps one of the greatest football players of the mid-1920s, and Mr. Ernie Nevers from Stanford University? As our friend and author, historian Joe Ziemba, points out in an article on the sportshistorynetwork.com, back in 1926, there was no NFL draft. Teams could identify key players of interest and then contact them with promises and hopes of playing time, and even a part-time job. That might be enough to convince the player to consider joining that particular club. And we're not sure what exactly, Mr. Hosgrud offered Mr. Nevers, but maybe it was just their good friendship. Maybe it was that good connection. Maybe it was a part-time job and some cash. I'm not really sure. But needless to say, Ernie Nevers showed up and played for the Duluth Eskimos. Now, Nevers shared the backfield glory as an All-American at the same time with the great Red Grange. His coach at Stanford was Pop Warner, who we've talked about quite a bit here on Pigskin Dispatch lately. Now, Warner claimed that Nevers was the greatest collegiate player of all time. And remember, Pop coached Jim Thorpe years earlier in his coaching career at Carlisle. Now, that's just amazing that Pop Warner would make that claim when you have, Red Grange playing as a contemporary. I'm not sure if Pop Warner ever saw Red Grange play, but he had to be aware of him. But he definitely was aware of Jim Thorpe playing and some other great Carlisle and Pitt players that he coached and some of the folks that he played against. And for him to say that about Ernie Nevers, that is just truly amazing. And remember, Ernie Nevers, at Stanford with Pop Warner, had just got done playing in the Rose Bowl 1925, and Ernie Nevers and his Cardinal teammates were matched up with a powerful Notre Dame Fighting Irish squad that featured the Seven Mules, the Four Horsemen backfield, and a legendary coach in Newt Rockne. Now, Ernie's performance was memorable and courageous, as he was only 5 days removed from having a cast removed from a broken ankle, and with his foot bound tightly in a brace, Nevers dominated the game. Nevers established a Rose Bowl record with 34 carries as he gained 114 yards, only 13 less than the combined total of the Notre Dame's legendary backfield. In that same game, his brilliance in the contest did not stop there as Nevers averaged 42 yards punting as a bonus. And unfortunately for the Cardinal faithful, the Irish were just a little bit too much as Stanford fell 27-10. But can you imagine that? Just having a broken ankle, having a cast removed, and 5 days later you're playing in a big game with your ankle tightly wrapped. That's taking some gamesmanship, and that's some bravery and some real fortitude there. Yes, Nevers was football royalty at the time, and when Hosgrud talked him into playing in Duluth, it put the Eskimos as a must-see team. Ole knew that he couldn't draw the big crowds at the gate in Duluth, so he made a decision to barnstorm the NFL as a road team, much like the Bears had done a season earlier in showcasing Red Grange at the end of the 1925 season. After their home game opening victory over the Kansas City Cowboys, the Eskimos went on an unprecedented get this, 29 games in 4 months, traveling over 17,000 miles. Now, Aaron Swartz of the Minnesota Vikings later explained years later in an interview on Fox 9 Sports that everywhere they went, they were met by crowds. They wore those iconic Mackinaw jackets. Train stations were lined with fans cheering for them everywhere when they arrived, and not just because of this great marketing, but because they were good. Now, it's amazing what one man can do to a team and really put them on a map. Red Grange did it with the Bears, 1925. You know, he gets done playing at Illinois and right before Thanksgiving, and then joins the Bears, and with some great marketing, you know, C.C. Pyle and, you know, George Halas combined and did some great marketing there. Well, Ole Hosgrood did some great marketing genius of his own, learned a lot of lessons, probably from what Pyle did with Grange. And the Eskimos officially posted a record of 6-5-3 to count in the NFL standings, as many of their games were of the exhibition variety. They just made some money for the players and for Hosgrood, I'm sure. And the marketing genius of Ole Hosgrood did not stop there, as the team is credited as being the first to wear a logo on their jerseys. You know, that igloo shape that we talked about earlier. And we have a photo of that I took at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio this past summer, 2021. It's the Mackinaw jacket of Ernie Nevers. It's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It has that igloo shape on it that says the team's name on it. They were also the first pro team to huddle before plays. Now, that's pretty big. We know that the huddle was created in college, in all of football, by Amos Alonzo Stagg at the University of Chicago. But the first pro team to do it, well, that was Hosgrood and the Eskimos of Duluth. And these trends really caught on and were commonplace, because another one that they did was they held the very first National Football League training camp. Now, it's said that the barnstorming of Ernie Nevers helped popularize the NFL brand of football, and without it, the league may have very well folded. Remember, after that 1925 season was so popular with Red Grange, you know, barnstorming with the Bears, that next year, it got a little shaky. You know, Grange and Pyle, they wanted to put a team in New York. Well, you know, the story goes they had some trouble doing that, so they ended up creating their own league. So now there was competition with that first AFL league of Grange, the Red Grange League, they called it. So the NFL was a little bit of trouble, and they knew it. So somebody like Ernie Nevers coming in, taking up that star role of the league and being that face of the league, really helped out. And many say that he helped save the NFL there in the 1920s. Now, the season of 1928 did not fare as well, though, for the Eskimos, as they could not only put together one win the whole season. The Hosgrood had no choice but to lick his financial wounds and sell the franchise back to the NFL with the promise of the right to some ownership stake in any future league franchise in Minnesota. That was their agreement. Now, the Chicago Bears in a Duluth Eskimos game on December 11, 1927 proved to be the last game ever played by the Eskimos. It was a 14-27 loss. But the silver lining, though, is that Bears owner George Halas promised the visiting Eskimos $4,000 for traveling and playing in the Windy Seas. Now, that was a pretty good chunk of change for the team. It didn't help save their financial troubles, but I'm sure it helped a little bit. And it doesn't appear that Halas made out in this deal, according to Mike Moran's article, that even though his team won, as the Bears showed a loss of over $3,000 for the season on their financial ledgers. Now, Mike Moran, in that article in the PFRA's Coffin Corner we told you about, he has the contract of that game. That's how he knows how much it was. And he points to there were some factors in there that it was, you know, a December game in Chicago, outdoors. And there was there was supposed to be a snowstorm that day. So only 1,500 people showed up for the game. And there was also that the rival league, they were having some picketers and telling people not to go to the game and boycotting it or some story of that. But make sure you check out that great article, the PFRA's Coffin Corner from 2015 that we told you about. We have a link to it on our website. And the NFL went to work again on selling the Duluth franchise after reacquiring it from Hosgrood. They found their buyer in Edwin Semendel, a promoter in Orange, New Jersey, who bought the now-defunct franchise on July 27, 1929. During that 1929 season, Semendel had used the club to promote his decades-old Orange Tornadoes to the big leagues of pro football. The NFL did not consider the Tornadoes to be the successors of the Eskimos. The Tornadoes moved to Newark for the 1930 season before going back to the semi-pros. Let's get back to our friend Ole Haugsgaard. Now, he ended up passing on an ownership bid with the Minnesota Marines, but in the 1960s, he did jump on the chance to have a 10% stake bought into it with the Minnesota Vikings. And what a wise choice that was. You know, he passes on the Minnesota Marines, takes the offer on the Vikings. That was a brilliant move on him. I'm sure he made his money back for his family, manyfold, that's for sure. Now, Ernie Nevers, in the aftermath, ended up moving over to play with the Chicago Cardinals organization. And to learn more about his career with the Redbirds franchise, you need to follow the podcast and read the books by our friend and Cardinals historian, Joe Ziemba. Now, When Football Was Football on Sports History Network, and he's got multiple books on the subject as well, and just talks quite a bit about it, and quite a few of them have Ernie Nevers in his episodes and his books. Also, special thanks to the Fox9.com, Mike Moran, and the PFRA for the great work they've done in preserving this great football story that we were able to share with you today. And we hope that you'll join us back tomorrow for some more great football history as we try to preserve it day by day, the football history of American football. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.